Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Okay, Jimmy, you there?
I'm here.
Jimmy, can you hear me?
All yes, right. I can. Can you hear me?
Yep. Great. Yeah, we're good, man. We're on right now. Well, I'll actually upload this a little later, so we're not on this instant, and I'll probably delete this part. But yeah, you know, for you guys tuning in, this is podcast number 9 from my site, daviddemand2.com. And today's guest, who is followed, I'm sure, by some of you, but frankly, not nearly enough, his handle is Jimmy Shivers, and he's a jack of all trades as far as the sports handicapping world goes. Personally, I mean, I don't know if he would agree with this. I think college football is his bread and butter, but he's certainly no slouch in other sports, including NFL, NHL, you name it. You know, he dabbles with a bit of everything, but as far as I'm concerned, I'll look to pick his brain most with college football. And today we're going to hop in here and discuss some bowl games, both, you know, some of the bigger marquee games that are a few weeks out with your college football playoff and your Rose Bowl, your Orange Bowl, as well as a couple of other under-the-radar type games, you know, that aren't going to get the national attention that those, you know, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Penn State kind of games will. So anyway, we got about 25 more minutes to go here. We were a few minutes late on the start, but we'll compress as much information that we think you guys will enjoy into that 25 minutes.
All right.
And, yeah, without further ado, I'll let Jimmy kind of briefly introduce himself, and we'll be off and running from there. Floor is yours, buddy.
All right. Yeah, thank you for having me on, David. It's an honor to be on here. I'm relatively new to doing podcasts, but it's always nice to have an opportunity to talk about some games. I would echo what you said. I focus on a lot of things, but I think my best sport is college football. So I'm looking forward to going over some of these bowl games. It's such a wonderful, wonderful time of year. We get bowl games during the day almost every day for 2 or 3 weeks. It's just a beautiful thing.
I'm with you, man. You and me and countless of, you know, millions of others just live for this time of year, you know, breaks up the, you know, the routine of Christmas shopping and FaceTime with in-laws and relatives, you know, when you can sneak away for, you know, noon, at least out here, you know, you get 11:30 Pacific, noon Pacific games on Tuesdays,
exactly.
You know, and it's kind of a nice escape from the real world. You can, get your degenerate on and, you know, bet on a game that, you know, normally you wouldn't care about, but you squeeze it in there at noon on a Tuesday and all of a sudden it's the center of your afternoon.
Right. All of a sudden Tulsa and Central Michigan has a lot more appeal, doesn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. MAC teams and Sun Belt teams and teams. Yeah. You know, that for the last 3.5 months you didn't care about, all of a sudden they're right there front and center for you. Okay, Jimmy, we're going to hop right into it. Like I said, we're kind of pressed for time here. We got about 20 minutes and change. So, and we won't spend too much time on this, but I want to start with, and I know people who are listening right now live in an instant gratification society, and people listening, as I'm going to put this up on Friday night with 5 bowl games tomorrow, we don't have to delve deeply, and certainly it's not worth going too deeply into any of those 5. But if people are thinking,
sure,
hey, David, hey, Jimmy, I want to make some money tomorrow, what can you do to help me? What are your thoughts? Or do you have any action on any of the 5 games tomorrow? I mean, where are you going to look to put a little money in your pocket with tomorrow's games?
Yeah, so, you know, I actually think this is one of the strongest opening week or opening day of bowl games that I think I've ever seen. Like, not only are these just random bowl games, some of these matchups are actually really good. And of the 5 games, I actually currently have action on, well, actually on all 5. I wind up being a relatively high volume guy.
Go.
It works for me. It's, you know, I like to shop, for the best numbers and play early. So, without further ado, I'll just kind of, jump in on these early games. The first one, you have UTSA making their first bowl appearance ever against New Mexico. This game is actually at New Mexico, so if you're looking at this line and thinking it's a touch high, well, it's because New Mexico is playing in their home stadium. Bob Davies'
Right.
team played here last year as well. And so you have some concern about if it's going to be considered something that they want to play for, considering they're at home and they don't get to take a fun trip. They're stuck in Albuquerque. But I think this is a really decent matchup for New Mexico. I played this one at 5.5 when it first came out. Obviously, that line has gone up to 7.5. I made it 9. That was my line here. So I still think there's a touch of value with New Mexico. But in looking at the weather, it looks like we're going to see some pretty harsh winds, which hurts the team that wants to throw the ball. Which, if you look at what these teams actually do, New Mexico is one of the more prolific run offenses in the country, and they're going up against a pretty mediocre run defense. So I don't expect that it's going to hurt New Mexico too much. However, I think where UTSA had an advantage was in the passing game, but that gets mitigated a lot here. So I think this one's low scoring. I would lean a little bit towards the under, even at 58.5, but I like New Mexico as a side.
The other games, certainly can't argue with that.
Yeah, go ahead and weigh in, David, if you have anything you want to add.
I mean, ironically enough, you know, the first one we're on opposite sides, which I don't think bodes too well
for
me. I'm on UTSA, but I wouldn't have played it at the open. You know, as that line crept up and I was able to snag a 7.5, I jumped in at that point. But where you are at 5.5, you know, if I'd have made a play there, it would have been a no play or New Mexico. I'll put it that way. There's no way I was taking UTSA
right
at 5.5. And we'll
add
see
these numbers,
you know,
right?
New Mexico. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that,
say,
right. I mean, I certainly get your point with UTSA at the current 7.5.
Yeah. So, and we don't want to waste too much time on that game.
Sure.
Just for the sake that, you know, there's four others we can briefly hit that go tomorrow, and then maybe some of the big ones if we can crunch in at the end. But
sure thing.
Yeah, we'll see. If nothing else, it should be an interesting game. And, yeah, you know, you got in at 5.5, so hopefully that thing lands at 6 or 7, and we both can walk away with a W. as far as the other four, and you know, we'll go next to, my squad, San Diego State and Houston. What do you think there?
Well, I played on your boys at the opening 6. This is a game I lined around 3.5. And I won't say I have buyer's remorse, but as the Houston coaching situation has settled after Herman leaving and Todd Orlando coaching this game and probably staying on the staff, I don't love it as much as I did. I think at 4.5, this is probably a game where I wouldn't get involved. I like both defenses a lot, but I worry about San Diego State being able to throw the ball if they can't get the run game going.
Right, and I agree with you. I kind of waited on this game. I didn't play anything at first. I ended up on Houston only after, you know, the major Applewhite news and the Todd Orlando news, because at first I was like you. When Herman got fired, my initial thought process was, why does Houston care about this game? They're just going to go through the motions. They've mentally checked out. They're not going to care. But now, you know, the dynamic with your next head coach, Applewhite, is going to be right there in person on the sidelines for this game. And he's a guy that they promoted from within. You know, you could kind of see a second wind mentally
sure.
for Houston. You know, all of a sudden they're engaged again. They care again. Major Applewhite's one of their guys. You know, they're happy to see him get the job. They're trying to impress him for playing time next season, blah, blah, blah. So for that
right.
angle, you know, I got in on Houston.
We'll
see.
Are you concerned
it should be a fascinating
all?
Game.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on maybe San Diego State trying too hard to get Darnell Pumphrey the rushing record and not coming
yeah.
up with a balanced game plan to be able to move the ball?
Yeah. No, that's certainly a concern, too. And, I mean, that's already a one-sided offense to begin with.
Sure.
You know, their starting quarterback, Christian Chapman, I mean, I think on the year he averaged about 15 or 16 pass attempts per game. So they, you know, I mean, I mentioned it in my write-up on my site. Even their backup running back, I think, had 990 yards and like 11 touchdowns
right.
this year. So, you know, between him and Pumphrey, they're over 3,000 yards and 20-something TDs. I mean, this is a run team. And Houston, I believe, is third in the nation in rushing defense. So it's kind of strength versus strength. And it meshes in
right.
about
it
the overall quality of games tomorrow. I mean, this should be a pretty fun game. I mean, you literally have got one of the best rushing offenses against one of the best rushing defenses. So it certainly should be fun to watch.
This should definitely be a fun one. I like having the points in my back pocket. But, yeah, this is certainly a game where I could see it going either way. And it should be fun. My line on this game was a pick, by the way. So that's kind of why I got in at six. But I think with the coaching stuff, like we said, oh, the dog is barking. You hear that? That's good news for San Diego.
Right on cue.
So, I mean – we'll move on this game just because we don't have a lot of time. But, yeah, I'm really looking
right.
forward to actually getting to watch this.
Yeah. And, you know, like we said with the last game, we're in that zone where maybe we can both come away winners. You know, Houston wins by 4 or 5, and bang, you know, we're both there in the win column again.
That would work. That would work.
Yeah. So, three more games, and we're not going to go into detail one by one on them. Frankly,
right.
I'll just ask you this, without even any explanation or rationale, which I know you have, but we just don't have time for it. On those other three
sure
games,
thing.
Who are you playing and what number did you get?
I like Arkansas State at the current 6.5. I actually got a little worse at 5.5, 6.5. I just like it more. I like Appalachian at a pick, which is where I played it, and it's where the line also is. I was hoping it would go up a little bit, but it didn't, so I grabbed it while it was still a pick. And Southern Miss, I liked a lot and played them when it first came out at a pick. That's gone. That's 6.5, and I don't really think that's in range. If I had to get involved now, it would be on the over 58.
Okay. And I have nothing on any of those three games. So for anybody
okay.
out there listening who's on the fence or – are undecided, we're not going to pull you in two different directions like we did on those first two. Hop in there with a little bit of your Christmas money and tell Jimmy on those. As you know, long run, you tell the guy on every play he makes, you're gonna come out ahead. All right, moving forward, Jimmy, we got about 15 minutes to go, and we're going to start getting into some games that are a little bigger and frankly a little more interesting, with the exception of,
sure.
as we agreed, that Houston-San Diego State game should be pretty good.
Absolutely.
So we're going to hop into the next one here, and I really am curious your thoughts on this battle with South Florida and South Carolina.
So this was a game, you know, you're getting double digits with South Carolina. I actually lined this game at 12.5, but then you start to look at the matchup, and things really kind of go sour there, even though you think you have a little bit of line value. The reason here is, Or at least a big part of it, is just the loss of Willie Taggart and his staff for South Florida. It's a pretty devastating blow for them. He was really well revered around the program. He's the quintessential players coach. He was the guy that everybody really enjoyed. He had recruited this team and turned it around from basically being one of the worst teams in upper level FBS football into a pretty good team. So now you take him away and you have to ask him to cover double digits. I think it's a pretty problematic, especially when you're playing against what I think is a better South Carolina team than a lot of people expected. Is their offense good? No, it's not. In fact, it's pretty bad, but it improved a lot when they found Jacob Bentley as their quarterback. They actually were able to move the ball a little bit. And all in all, this is a pretty good defense. The big thing about South Florida all season was that they had to hit explosive plays to be able to move the football. They couldn't just dink and dunk their way down the field. They had to have those 30 and 40-yard balls just to get their offense going. And South Carolina actually ranks 13th in my big play stats allowed. So I think it's a tough ask for an interim coach who's not going to be around on Charlie Strong's staff next year to take a team to Birmingham, Alabama, who won 10 games this year, and have them up to cover a double-digit line against a team that has better athletes than they do. So I think South Florida South Carolina, is a live dog here. And getting 10.5 is very easy.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth with the better athletes, and that's a good point. I know the SEC is still an excellent conference. I think most would agree it's not at the level it was 4 or 5 years ago, but still an excellent conference nonetheless. And you made the point that I 1,000% agree with. It's a different caliber of athlete that's being recruited to play in the SEC that ultimately ends up playing in the SEC compared, you know, no disrespect to the kind of athletes that South Florida has. I mean, these aren't the kind of teams that are targeting the same kind of athletes, you know?
Sure. And Willie Taggart did a really great job in Florida finding fast guys. I'm not saying that they're not fast, because they are, but they don't have the kind of depth that a team like South Carolina has. They're not going to be able to wear South Carolina down.
Right, right. Agree with you. I agree with you all around. And when you throw in, you know, the intangibles, the coaching, you mentioned the points with Taggart, you know, there's more than enough reason to get involved and make a play with South Carolina here. So I'm certainly with you there. We're going to kind of zigzag here. We got a couple under-the-radar games we still want to briefly hit.
Sure.
And as well, obviously, some of the big boy games, you know, your Rose Bowl, your Orange Bowl, and your college football playoff. So, like I said, bouncing around the map, we'll kind of work our way toward the huge ones with what many people think is maybe the best bowl game that isn't part of the college football playoff. It's Florida State and Michigan. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I played Michigan -6 when the line first came out, just because I thought it was a little bit short. So we're currently at 7, which I think is a pretty fair number here. And this is a really interesting game. I mean, you've got it happening in Florida, so it's in Florida State's backyard, and they're going to have a good representation, as they always do. But Jim Harbaugh, you know, you give him extra time to prepare, and he can pretty much overcome any obstacle. And the guy loves playing in Florida. Florida is a very fertile recruiting ground for Michigan. And I just think that Florida State is really going to have a hard time offensively against this defense. Harbaugh proved last year, even on the back of a demoralizing defeat to Ohio State, that he could get his team hyped up to play in a Florida bowl game and roll a Florida team, which they did against Florida handily last year. So I felt pretty comfortable going ahead and taking the favorite here, and it's gone up a little bit, which kind of it emboldens that. But it should be a good game, but I do like Michigan to be able to cover.
And you make some good points there with the game being in Florida. This is the kind of game that if Michigan has a good showing and they win, Harbaugh can use that as a recruiting chip in future years. You know, remember back to the Orange Bowl when I went into Florida and I beat, you know, state champion Florida State. You know, I beat those kids in their own backyard. You know, you don't have to stay in Florida and go, you know, to Florida or Florida State just because you're a high school Florida kid. Come up and play at Michigan. I win every time I go down there anyway. So obviously, like you said, there's heavy incentive for Harbaugh to get his boys ready to win this game.
Yeah, exactly. And this Florida State team has some real some issues all season long with discipline. They were one of the worst. They were one of the most penalized teams in the country. So you kind of wonder with a long layoff how they're going to respond there. I just think it's a huge edge for Michigan on the coaching battle, and that just gets amplified, you know, with a couple of weeks to prepare.
Right, and we'll move on quickly, but I do find the game very interesting, and it's similar, like we said, Houston, San Diego State, strength versus strength. You have Dalvin Cook, one of the nation's best running backs. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know all year Michigan was top two or top three in rush defense. So, again, you got some strength versus strength here with Cook going against that Wolverines run defense, and that should be fun to watch. We'll move on. We got about 7 or 8 minutes left, and we're kind of try to go rapid fire with a couple of these lower level under the radar games, and then dip back in our final few minutes to some of the bigger games. So I'll hand the floor over to you, and maybe you can hit these two games in one fell swoop with Wake Forest Temple and Louisiana Tech Navy. What do you think about those two?
So let me go ahead and start with the second one first. And I'm going to try to be quick here. So I like Louisiana Tech. I believe that line's gone up to 5, and I still think that's within range of where I would feel comfortable playing it. This Navy offense was extremely prolific, after the first month of the season, but I think they're in a lot of trouble here. They're coming off of a couple of games where they really struggled. They lost their quarterback, Will Worth, and they just haven't really been able to adjust. I think they'll be able to adjust some and move the ball on this Louisiana Tech team, but the bottom line is this Navy defense is abysmal. I've got them 120th in yards per attempt allowed, 122nd in opposing quarterback rating, and they've allowed a 24-6 touchdown to interception ratio against that FBS post. You talked about going against a top 10 Louisiana Tech passing offense and a team who can run the ball to boot. I just think that Navy's going to have to score 40-plus to even stay in this game. I don't think that their offense is clicking well enough to be able to actually do it. And on the other game that you asked about, Temple kind of finds themselves in a weird spot here. They're actually going back to the same stadium where they just rolled up Navy to win their conference. And what is their reward for winning their conference? Now they got to play Wake Forest. And they lost their coach and a lot of their coaching staff to actually boot. So you got to do all that, and you got to lay 13 points. It's just a big number, and granted, it's within my power rankings. I think I had it at 14. But I just hate the situation for where Temple is right now. They were very good against the spread here, but I really think that they have their hands full against a really good Wake Forest defense. This is going to be close. It's going to be low scoring. So getting almost 2 touchdowns in that situation, you can sign me up for that.
I agree with you there, and it's important to point out for some people who haven't really made this connection, 13 points in some games goes a lot further than it does in others. The type of style and the type of game Wake Forest plays, vast majority of their games are low scoring. You can stretch 13 points a lot further in a game like that than – you know, a Big 12 shootout, you know, where you could be in the 80s or 90s. And 13 doesn't seem, you know, as big as 13 seems in a game like this. So it's so important to keep that in mind as a further reason to maybe get involved here. So we'll continue to move on back to the big boy games. We got about 5 minutes to go. If we have a chance, we'll hit the Rose Bowl with USC and Penn State. But before we get there, obviously what everybody's wondering about, Alabama and Washington, can Washington keep that game even somewhat close? And the more competitive game with Ohio State and Clemson, and I'll hand the floor over to you again, let you kind of hit both of those games in one swoop, and have at it, my friend.
Sure thing. So, first of all, this may be Nick Saban's best team. And he's been getting a lot of extra time to prep, and that makes his team extraordinarily dangerous. They're just so balanced and versatile. That being said, this is a pretty crazy inflated number. I really like this Washington team. I think Chris Peterson is an excellent coach. I've seen a lot of comparisons to this game, to Alabama's first playoff game last year, where they played Michigan State, but I don't think it's a very apt comparison at all. Michigan State was not a very good team last year, at least offensively. They weren't balanced. They struggled with a lot of things, and Connor Cook was pretty banged up at that point as well. But I think Washington has every ability to be able to keep this game close. I worry about their ability to keep it close for 4 quarters just because they don't have the kind of depth that Alabama has. So I do like Washington here. I think Washington at over a score for the first half has some value as well. I think they can hang around early. In the other game, I'm big on great coaches who have extra time to prep. I played Ohio State at 3. At 3.5, it's probably a little higher than where I would actually feel comfortable playing. It's a game I won at 4.5, and while I like this Clemson at all, I worry at how often that they struggled with inferior opposition this year. I think that they're missing something from the team that they had last year, even though they're just as talented and they've got a great quarterback. I just don't think they're going to be able to hang around in this game.
Right, and with Clemson, it's the age-old question that you always get. Were they playing to their level of competition? Are those kids who are so accustomed to winning that when they get a game against an NC State, you know, who took them to the wire, against a Pitt who beat them. And I know Pitt had a nice year, but, you know, they're not considered a power, you know, to the level that Clemson is, or even some of their bigger ACC opponents. Is Clemson just maybe mentally not being able to get to where they need to get for games like that? Or is it just maybe, like you said, something is going on with that team, and maybe they just aren't quite as good as they were last year? Certainly motivation won't be a problem against Ohio State, so we'll really find out which of the two it is this time, you know, because there's no excuse to fall back on if they don't play well here. It's just because Ohio State's a better team.
Let's go ahead and touch on Southern Cal.
There you go, man. Yeah. I think, as I mentioned, Florida State, Michigan, for this Southern Cal Penn State game, those are the two best non-playoff games, and we got about a minute and change to go, so the floor is yours. What do you think goes down in the Rose Bowl?
So, wow, what a great game this is. These are two teams that finished the season on absolute fire. Both offenses look really good. I think we have two excellent quarterbacks. But I have real issues with Penn State. I think they did a lot of their late season success against a really soft part of their schedule. I know that they did really well playing against Wisconsin in the second half, but I just don't think they can hang with the Southern Cal team. I love the athletes on the Southern Cal team. I think they're absolutely loaded all over the ball. I laid the 6.5 with USC in this game. I see that the line has come back here to around 6.5, and I still like Southern Cal a lot. I think they're just going to be able to overwhelm them with that offense.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I agree with all your points. It sounds like there might be a little dissension in the household. Your dog in the background clearly is going to be on Penn
State. Just a little bit. The dog is barking.
Yeah, he's definitely on Penn State.
Yeah, for sure.
But I agree with all your points, and I'll have to cut you loose here. We're down to about 30 seconds. I want to thank you for taking the time. This is something I would love to do again down the road. Clearly, you're on top of your craft, and like I said, especially in college football, not to take away from what you do in the other sports, but I really enjoy your college football. And like I said, man.
Absolutely, David. Thanks for having me. I would love to come back.
Got it, man. And ignore that time. We have, for our listeners, somebody in our ear, a little automated 10 seconds, 15 seconds. If it goes over briefly, it doesn't cut us off, so I don't want to abruptly hang up on you. We've been trying to do this for a while, finally got on the same page, fought some technical issues today. You were a trooper, kind of hung in there when I was, you know, hey, this is a go. Hey, it's not a go. I won't belabor the point, but I appreciate you being a team player and making this work, even though, you know, you've got other things going on in your day. So we'll put a bow on it there. Thanks again, man. Hope you guys enjoy listening, and Jimmy, we'll be in touch, man. We'll do it again.
All right, David. Thanks, man.
All right, you got it. See you guys.